السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. كنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس تأمرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر وتؤمنون بالله، صدق الله العظيم. Respected علماء الكرام and brothers, yesterday I was explaining to you the Amar bil Maruf and Nahi anil Munkar. Those who are sitting in i'tikaf, then this i'tikaf is for the month of Ramadan. In the month of Ramadan, we sit for 10 days in i'tikaf, or 20 days, or 30 days. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam sat for 30 days, 20 days, 10 days. 10 days was like regular. So sitting in i'tikaf is in the month of Ramadan, the sunnat i'tikaf. Like that you can make nafil i'tikaf all your life, for a little while, for more time, for less time. But nafil i'tikaf can be made any time. But the sunnat i'tikaf, for which people make special preparation, they take their beddings and put it at the door of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's house, and mentally they condition themselves that now we want to cut off from the outside world and we want to get this ta'alluq ma'allah. So therefore we are going to spend the 10 days and nights in the masjid. We won't even step out of the masjid without the need to do so, to go to the toilet or go and make wuzu. By the way, there's a misunderstanding, somebody misunderstood that you can't even talk whilst you are on the way to the toilet or on the way to wuzu, that you can't talk. That is not correct. As you are walking, you can talk. If somebody wants to talk to you, you must walk with you, carry on. Then when you go and wait there at the door, then he can carry on talking there too. But you mustn't stop to talk to the person. Now these little things are for disciplining us. Otherwise the person hasn't done anything so serious outwardly. But to make the person obey Allah Ta'ala's hukam, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's hukam, even these little etiquettes we have to obey and implement. If not, that nafil, that sunnat i'tikaf will become null and void. It will now become a nafil i'tikaf. The person will even have to make qaza of that one day i'tikaf. So this i'tikaf is in the month of Ramadan. For a few days we sit here and then we go outside world. So the real test is in the outside world. The test is not in the masjid. In the masjid, what test there is? In the masjid, a little bit of test, that stay away whilst you're in i'tikaf. You've got lots of other friends there and other people there. Then stay away from ghibat, stay away from any kind of other sins of that kind. But the real test will be outside, when the person is going to leave the i'tikaf and go outside. Now he'll be with his wife, he'll be with his children, he'll be in the business, he'll be on the streets, he'll be in the airport, he'll be in the aeroplane. And that is where that test will come. That whilst you're in the masjid, in i'tikaf, you are controlling yourself. You are disciplining yourself. You are not stepping even outside the masjid. So now how much do you step outside the ahkam of Allah Ta'ala, outside the masjid? Because there are more hukams and ahkams outside the masjid than inside the masjid. Inside the masjid now there's no children here, there's no wives here, there's no parents here, there's no business here, nothing. So all this is for the preparation of the outside world, that the person is secluding himself to develop that ta'alluq with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala to such a level that when he goes outside, that same consciousness remains as he was inside the masjid. That in the masjid he was conscious that I must not step outside. I must not do this, I must not do that, it will break my i'tikaf. And also the other adab of the masjid, that this is masjid, so I must not make a noise, I must not do anything that is displeasing to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that is disrespectful to the masjid. Now all those etiquettes and adab which he was observing inside the masjid, now when he goes outside, that is the real purpose of this i'tikaf, that when he's outside now, that same consciousness must remain. Now he's going to talk, he's going to laugh, he's going to joke, he will be with his wife, with his children, with his business and everything. But that consciousness must remain, that my Allah, just as I was pleasing him in the masjid, I must please him outside. Just as I was not disobeying him in the masjid, I must not disobey him outside. Every step of his, he must be conscious of the fact that my Allah is watching me outside just as he was watching me in the masjid. A person will never, if he is in his true senses and is a Muslim, he will never commit adultery in the masjid. He's not going to commit fornication in the masjid. He's not going to steal in the masjid. Those who are stealing from the masjid, then there's a weakness of their iman. But if the person is disciplining himself in i'tikaf, then how can he be stealing? How can the person say that I'm sitting for i'tikaf for the pleasure of my Allah, I'm fulfilling the sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and then I'm going to steal too? It doesn't work. The person, the very fact that he's committing himself to i'tikaf shows that now he's committing himself to all the laws of Allah Ta'ala, and he's not going to steal, he's not going to commit adultery, fornication, drink. So in the same way, in the outside world, when he's going to step out, that is where the real test will be coming. Therefore, this Amar bil Ma'ruf and Nahi anil Munkar is so important. Some people get the wrong impression that sitting in the masjid in i'tikaf, or they go to the khanqah and sit by the shaykh and spend a few days there and make tazkiyah of the qulub. But what about Amar bil Ma'ruf and Nahi anil Munkar? Indeed, Amar bil Ma'ruf and Nahi anil Munkar is a very, very important branch of iman. It's a part of faith. The person is a Muslim by virtue of the fact that he is making Amar bil Ma'ruf, Nahi anil Munkar, inviting towards good and forbidding evil. That is why we discussed that hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam yesterday, when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam speaks about what will happen to you when your wives will become rebellious, when your youth will become fasiq and fajir, when you will stop inviting from towards good and forbidding evil, when you will invite towards evil, when you will start inviting towards evil and preventing from good, when you will start considering the evil as good. So now all those things, so that when we go in the outside world, now we have to be wide awake and alert. Now if we are going to make Amar bil Ma'ruf Nahi anil Munkar, then we will get protected. Our protection lies in Amar bil Ma'ruf Nahi anil Munkar. The more we are going to go on telling somebody, the more it is going to affect our hearts. But provided there's ikhlas, and this is another ingredient that we have to bring into our hearts, we have to develop in our hearts. Without ikhlas, that i'tikaf is useless, the salat is useless, the namaz, anything that you do, without ikhlas, it will bring no rewards at all. But I repeatedly say that you must have some vessel, some container to receive the water. A person has to have the container to receive the water. The water you have to put into some container. If somebody is thirsty and you say, now, you know, bring water, he's got to bring it in some container. So that container, if you don't have it, in what are you going to bring that water? In the same way, if this person says, now leave out the ibadat, leave out the salat, leave out the zikr, leave out the tilawat, leave the tahajjud, leave the ishraq and chash, leave the charity, leave the jihad, leave everything because I don't have ikhlas. So if he's going to say that, leave it out because I don't have ikhlas, so then in where is that ikhlas going to come then? In which vessel are you going to bring that ikhlas? Now there's no amal left, so in what are you going to bring ikhlas? So the amal has to first exist, then ikhlas has to come in there. Therefore Haji Imdadullah Rahmatullah Ali said that first it begins with riya and show. Many of our actions, they first begin with riya. The person never had a habit of making zikrullah, but now he saw a lot of people are around him, so he said, let me pick up on 1,000 dana tasbih and make subhanallah, subhanallah. Taake sabko nazar aa jayegi. He's got a nice long tasbih stretching from here to there. So he started off like that. But now he did it one day, 2 days, 10 days, 20 days. Now he got habit of reading 1,000 danas. Although he was doing it for show. For us waqt takleef bhi bahut hui. He's like, ikhlas nahi tha. So while showing there was a lot of takleef, also reading 1,000 times. But now reading the 1,000 times every day, now he begins to think, I'm reading 1,000 times and I'm reading it for people around me and I'm getting nothing in the akhirat. Then why read it for the people? I am reading. So first it was out of riya and show, then it became a habit. First it was showpiece. After that now it became a habit that he kept on reading every day. Now he started thinking, little bit of reflection, little bit of some good majlis, little bit of good bayan, was something, nasihat he heard. Now he says, no, I rather do it for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. Why must I do it for people? As it is, I am reading. But if on day one, when he was thinking of reading the tasbih, at that time he said, leave it out because there's no ikhlas. He would never have had this ikhlas now. So there has to be some vessel, some container in which you're going to bring the ikhlas. So the person must not delay to bring that ikhlas. He must try and bring it quickly. Shaykh Abul Hasan Nuri Rahmatullah Ali. Mu'tazid Billah was one of the kings, Muslim kings. But he was a zalim. He used to sit on a chair made of iron. Iron and steel. Steel chair he used to sit on. The rod he had also was a steel rod. And his sword used to work first, then his tongue. Uski zuban talwar se pehle chalti thi. If a person he was annoyed with, then he'll say, take his neck off. Zalim Badshah. He used to drink. Shaykh Abul Hasan Nuri happened to be on a boat in which liquor was being brought for this king. There were 100 containers or 100 jars or barrels. So Shaykh Abul Hasan Nuri Rahmatullah Alayh, because he was such a great caliber and such a well-known person, he was a great wali of Allah Ta'ala. So the people in the boat, they respected him. Now when he asked, for who is all this drink being carried? So he said, for the king, for Mu'tazid Billah. So he broke all those jars of alcohol, wine, brandy, what it was. When he came to the 99th one, he stopped. He left one out. He didn't break one. So as soon as the boat was at the shore, he was arrested. So Mu'tazid Billah asked him that, who made you the muhtasib? Who made you responsible to overlook and oversee my actions and deeds? Who gave you that authority? So he said, that same Allah who made you king, he gave me that authority. That even though you may be a king, but if you're doing wrong, I must make amar bil maruf nahi anil munkar. So he said, well, in that case, for a little while he was awestruck that this ordinary, simple person, and he's talking in front of me like that with authority, that my Allah gave me that authority to oversee your actions too. So he said, well, in that case, then why did you leave out one? 99 you broke, why did you leave out one? So he said, up till that 99, the tajalli of Allah Ta'ala was on my heart. And I was doing it for the pleasure of my Allah. And Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gave me that courage and that strength that I must break all those jars. But when I came to the 99th one, the last one, at that time, Shaitan whispered, you see, Abul Hasan, what a great person you are. Look at the courage that you have. King of the time, you are unconcerned. 99 you broke. Break the last one too. What a name you will have. It's the same time I realized that now it is not for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. So I stopped. That one was not for the pleasure of Allah, so I left it out. See how they were checking their intentions. So Mu'tazid Billah then told him, well, alright, from now on I appoint you as Muhtasib for the people. Keep a check on what they're doing. So he said, up till now, whatever Ihtisab I was doing was for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. If I was making Amar bil Maruf, Nahi anil Munkar, it was for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. But now, you are appointing me to do it. Which means that I will be your paid employee now. Paid by the king to do ihtisab, to keep a check on what people are doing, not doing. Reprimand them, make nasihat to them. Now I will be paid by you to make nasihat and reprimand. So I do not wish to be doing it when you order me to do it, because tomorrow you will say, that person don't tell him anything. That person don't tell him anything. That is my prime minister. That is my cabinet minister. That is so and so. That is my friend. So don't tell them anything. So I do not wish to be in that kind of a situation where I have to listen to you, that who must I make nasihat to and who I mustn't make nasihat to. For the sake of Allah Ta'ala, I will make nasihat to whomsoever I have to make. So therefore what you do is, if you really want to do me a favor, then tell your people to take me right out of Baghdad. Take me right out of Baghdad with afiyat and salamati. I don't want to go into prison. Take me out of Baghdad, and then I will make my ihtisab wherever I have to make. So they took him out of Baghdad, and he never returned to Baghdad until this person remained a king. Look at their ikhlas. Look at their ikhlas. It really baffles us when we look at the ikhlas of these people. And where did they learn it from? Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. At-tahiyyatu lillahi was-salawatu wat-tayyibat. Everything for the sake of Allah. Oral, monetary, oral, physical, monetary, any ibadat, everything, solely for the pleasure of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala also then in reply, as you heard many times now, but it just came to mind, At-tahiyyatu lillahi was-salawatu wat-tayyibat. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala said, As-salamu alayka ayyuhan nabi wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh. Salamati ho tum par, Allah Ta'ala ki rahmat aur Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala ki barakat. Peace, mercy and blessings, everything for you now. Because you did everything for me, so I'm giving you everything. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam did not keep it exclusive for his household. As-salamu alayna wa ala ibadillahi salihin. Until the day of Qiyamah, any servant of yours, O Allah, who is righteous, then he may also enjoy that same salamati, enjoy that peace, enjoy the mercy, enjoy the blessings. So they learned ikhlas from Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Qul inna salati wa nusuki wa mahyaya wa mamati lillahi rabbil alameen. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, that famous incident, that he overpowered that enemy, and that enemy was trying to kill him, martyr him. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala overpowered him. When he overpowered him, that enemy spat on Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala's face. Now, if we had to be in that situation, that we have overpowered the enemy, and the enemy now is adding insult to injury, that he is spitting also now. So that anger which was in our heart, it would have boiled over. And if we were going to take his neck off after a few minutes, we will take it out immediately. Because he has overpowered him. Same time he could have taken his neck off. But look at the courage of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, and look at his ikhlas, that he just leaves him and moves away. Now at that time, that enemy could then have taken the sword and taken his neck off. Because he's moving out at such a time. But look at the effect that ikhlas had on that enemy. That enemy that accepted Islam, it was because of that ikhlas of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala. And he asked him that, this is something very strange you did, that in the battlefield you overpower me. And I thought that now I'm going to go. So before I leave this world, why should I not spit on your face and leave? So I tried to make you more angry. But instead of now speeding up the process of taking off my neck, you moved away. So Ali radiallahu ta'ala said the same thing. That up till that time, it was for the sake of Allah Ta'ala that I was doing it. You were fighting against Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's army and his people. So I was waging jihad against you. But when you spat on my face, then my personal anger now boiled. Personal anger. Anger for the sake of my nafs. So you think you're great now, you want to spit on my face, see what I do to you now. You're insulting me. So now it was for the nafs. The nafs became inflated. So that is why I left you. In other words, I preferred losing my life. I preferred losing my life than that I should make an amal without ikhlas. That is what it was. Rather my life go. But on the day of Qiyamah, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala must not tell me, O Ali radiyallahu ta'ala, you took the neck of that enemy because of your personal anger. And at present, this is what is happening throughout the world, that we are getting angry. And in our anger, we are fighting. It's not for the sake of deen in most cases. And at the lower level, individual level also, whenever we are making nasihat, when we are saying something, we are preventing somebody from doing something, or we are ordering somebody to do something, most of the times it's our own egos and our own nafs. We will not express that same anger over our own children, our own wives, our own selves. But when we see somebody else doing it, then we will get very, very angry. And that anger too is for the sake of the nafs, most of the times. I've given that one example, I think, in that talk that I gave on ikhlas, that if there is a son, a person has got two sons, and the one son doesn't make namaz, doesn't give zakat, he goes to the clubs, he goes to cinemas, discos, theatres, and all kinds of sins he does. But the only thing that he does is early morning he takes the keys from the father and he goes and opens the business. And he tells the father, don't worry, relax. You have got great rights over me and I dearly love you and I will take care of you. So you don't worry. And he goes and works very hard and he brings a big packet at the end of the day. Does a lot of sales and brings big money. And the other son is a namazi. He gives zakat, he fasts in Ramadan, he doesn't go to cinemas, theatres, discos, doesn't indulge in adultery, fornication. But the only thing that son is not a very hard worker, is a little lazy. So now that son, if he has to miss one salat, or if he has to miss one fast for some reason or the other, or if he was unable to achieve something, and his father gets very angry over him. Gets very angry over him. You're pretending to be pious, you this, you that, look at your salat, you missed out Zohar time, and you didn't do this, and you didn't do that, and look at this action of yours, and look at that action, he will go on hammering him. And he will keep on finding faults with that son who is trying to go straight. He's trying his level best. Just that here and there is a human being made some mistakes. So he will really harp on those mistakes of that son. So is that anger for the sake of Allah Ta'ala? Why is he not expressing that same anger of the other son? The other son who's working very hard in the business, but is disobeying Allah Ta'ala whole day, why is that anger not coming out on him? So most of the time, the bottom line is anger for the sake of our nafs. And that is why it's not having any effect on anybody too. And it leads to arguments, quarrels, fights. But if with ikhlas we had to say the same thing, then just as Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu is ikhlas, that person accepted Islam. He said, why should I not accept such a deen? Where even in a battlefield the person has overpowered me, but just because I spat on him he leaves me. So he accepted Islam. Now like this there are so many incidents. So Amar bil Ma'ruf and Nahi anil Munkar also has to be done with ikhlas. Then it will have the desired effect. Now where are you going to get that ikhlas from? That is the question. That ikhlas, you can't go and buy it in the supermarket. That you say, I've got plenty of money, let me go and purchase it in the supermarket. Where am I going to make an effort for ikhlas? So he goes to the supermarket and says, yes, can I help you? He says, do you have ikhlas? So it is not something that you can just purchase from somewhere. Ilm and nubuwat you can get from the kitabs. The knowledge of nubuwat. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has left behind for us ilm. That we get from the kitabs. But the noor of nubuwat, which comes with ikhlas, the noor of nubuwat brings ikhlas. That comes from the hearts of the Ahlullah. The hearts of the friends of Allah Ta'ala, hearts of those who have brought ikhlas into their lives. and it is something that a person can sense. It's very easy. Those whom Allah Ta'ala has given basirat, very quickly they can sense that whether there's ikhlas in this amal or there's riya. So there's a very fine line, and at present all over the world there's a lot that is being done in the name of Islam and Deen. Lots of charities are being given, lots of masajid, madaris, khanqahs, what is being built. Lot of tabligh and dawat work. Lots of mashayikh have got their khanqahs where people are going for Islam purposes. So many things are taking place. But it seems that that ikhlas ingredient is not coming into the hearts. And that is the reason why we can't seem to find that change coming into the hearts of other people. If there's no ikhlas in the person who is speaking himself, how do you expect change to come in the other person's heart? So we all are lacking in that. We all must never think that now we have reached a stage, finished. There's no need to worry about anything. Shaitan and nafs is with everybody. We have to keep making ihtisab. We have to keep checking. For whom am I doing this amal? What is my objective? For whose pleasure? Is it just for a few words of congratulations? Somebody has to just congratulate. We really appreciate what you are doing. Finish. That person's head is in the air. People are doing lots of things. But at the same time, I repeat that if somebody is saying it with sincerity, the problem is that most of those congratulations these days are not with sincerity. When the person is making wahwa, and the person is making subhanallah, and the person is congratulating, then most of it is not with sincerity. Two friends were coming to the majlis of Hazrat Mullah Wasiullah Rahmatullah. They used to sit together, they used to come right in front and sit, close friends. One day one friend didn't pitch up. So Hazrat asked him, what happened to your friend today? So he says, I got a shock when he gave me the reply. He says, my friend, if I can help it, I'll throttle him. He says, that's funny. And yet they used to come like friends. So there's a lot of nifaq and hypocrisy. Hypocrisy, he used to say, is the currency of the time. Sikka raijul waqt. Currency of the time. And so many incidents in a person's life, if he has to just see where he has been let down. And they say, I've been stabbed in my back. By whom? By my own friend. By my own partner. By the one whom I trusted most. By that family member whom I thought he will give his life for me if I required any kind of assistance. So all this is nifaq. And nifaq is the opposite of ikhlas. Nifaq jo hai, ikhlas ki zid hai. It's the opposite of ikhlas. Now how are we going to get rid of that nifaq and bring ikhlas? So that is the purpose of this majlis, that you are in ihtikaf. So you too have to make that effort, I have to make that effort. That we have to keep checking our intention. That what is the purpose of our sitting here? Why do we attend the programs? Why do we read Quran Sharif after Asr? Why do we attend the late night programs? Why are we making tahajjud salat? For whom are we making the ibadat, zikr, tilawat? If only with that little effort we get that little ikhlas in our hearts, then wallah, you will see such enjoyment and such happiness and such feelings and kayfiyat will come into the person's heart. When Allah Ta'ala becomes razi and happy and pleased, it's not that He deprives that person of a taste of that pleasure of His. When a person is happy with somebody, so when he's meeting him, he'll talk with a smile, he'll talk with a cheer, and if he met him after a long time, then he will hug him, embrace him, oh, mashallah, nice to see you, after a long time you came. Now where can you see the effect of his happiness? You see the effect of his happiness on his face and in his behavior towards you. That's where you see the effect of this person's happiness, that is very happy with us. And the person who is angry, then you will see it on his forehead, you will see it on his features, it's on his face. You will see that this person is temperamental, he's gone very angry and and he's now lost his cool. So we see the effects of a person's anger, we see the effects of a person's happiness. So when Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala becomes happy, then the effect of his happiness can be felt on the heart. Dil ke andar uska asar mehsoos hota hai. Allah ta'ala ghayyur hai. Jo uski raza ke liye koi kaam karta hai, Allah ta'ala usko fauri khushi apne dil ke andar ata kar deta hai. Immediately Allah ta'ala gives him that happiness in his heart. He can sense it inside his heart that Allah has become pleased with this action of mine. The tears will roll from his eyes. He will express more humility. He will say, oh my Allah, it is your ihsan that you took this khidmat from me, or you made me make zikr or make tilawat. I am not worthy of it, I am not deserving of it. But even in the tears, those tears will be of the pain, of the love of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. That my Allah, I was useless, absolutely useless. This little ibadat, little zikr, tilawat, that too you couldn't even do justice. But you blessed me with so much just on this little. So much blessed. Not only material, but spiritual. So much of blessing you gave. What enjoyment you gave me in my heart. What sweetness you gave me of that iman. What sweetness you gave me of that ikhlas. What sweetness you gave me of your love and muhabbat. So that person now is bowing down even more. But the point is that ikhlas, the person will sense it in his heart. So if the person's heart remains empty, then the person must think, why am I doing this amal? But of course it won't come one time the person just does one amal and then now he thinks ikhlas came away. Two times he does with ikhlas and then 10 times he does with riya. It's something that has to be continuous. If the water keeps on falling on a stone, it will make a hole in the stone too. One drop will make a hole in that stone. One drop falls in a container, it will fill that container. If you go to the petrol garage, if you go to the garage and say fill up, when you say fill up, then the person puts that nozzle into your tank, the tank was completely empty and now you started filling up. After some time, now you start pushing the boot and it says full. And then the petrol overflows. Now what filled that tank? We will say that the last drop filled that tank. But in reality it's the first drop from which the filling up process began. The first drop is from where the filling up process began. The last drop filled the tank. But the thing is that process began with that first drop. If there was no first drop and no second one and no 10th one and no 100th one, then how did it get full? So don't lose hope. Start off with every amal that we make, start off with ikhlas. Ya Allah, I want to do it for your raza. The moment we find shaitan and nafs is worrying us that do it for riyash, give it up. Start again. That's how what will happen, that drop by drop, drop by drop, drop by drop, then the heart will fill up with ikhlas. And then when it will become completely covered with ikhlas, then inshallah ta'ala, any amal he will do, it will just automatically be for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. Inshallah. But it starts off with that first drop. The time now is almost a minute or two to 2 o'clock. So therefore we finish with this majlis as per announcement. Maulana Abrarul Haq Sahab, he said, 10 minute ka bayan hoga. So he'll take out his watch like that. If somebody announced it, that Hazrat will give a 10-minute talk, so he'll take out his watch. As soon as 10 minutes finish, he says, right, 10 minutes is up now. Now whoever wants to go can go, and those who wish to sit can sit. But the 10 minutes is 10 minutes. See how particular they are. They have ikhlas, so they don't worry. With ikhlas, if you say something for 5 minutes too, it's better than saying something for 5 hours without ikhlas. So if we announce something, but of course if they are friends, they are people who are accommodating and they are themselves are very much interested that the Shaykh must go on and on, then there's no problem. But if we say that we're going to stop at a certain time, then we should stop there. But that's why we always put plus minus. You see what an escape route we find. We put the plus minus. So that if you go on for another half an hour or two, you say that's plus. You go for another 1 hour, you say, well, that was plus. We didn't say plus how many minutes there. So that plus can be for another 2 hours also. Generally, it won't be a minus. It will always be plus. Somebody made a bayan, said it, announcement. Sahib, mukhtasar bayan hoga, bahut mukhtasar bayan hoga. Very brief, short bayan. And then he spoke for about 1.5-2 hours. So somebody told him, Hazrat, aapne to mukhtasar bayan kaha tha. You said mukhtasar, and two-hour bayan is mukhtasar. He said, din mein kitne ghante hai? He said, how many hours in a day? He said, 24 hours. So 2 hours out of 24 hours, ye mukhtasar nahi hai kya? Mukhtasar hi to hai aur kya? Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذ منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وأنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وآله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.